Go Bible for Conservative Theological University. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. We're talking about what I believe to be a very serious eschatological prophetic subject that's found in the Scripture, standing with Israel. As Christians, we need to stand with Israel. I know a lot of folks today that are not in that position, not on that same plane, not on the same level. But I'm telling you, based on the authority of the Word of God, that's to be the position as Christians that we ought to take. I'm looking at a headline, then we'll take our next caller. Iran President Raisi, R-A-I-S-I, Raisi, I'm sure I'm slaughtering it, killed in helicopter crash. This article just gives a blurb. Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi has died in a helicopter crash at the age of 63, the government confirmed. The country's foreign minister and seven others were killed after the crash in a remote mountainous area in Iran's northwest. Raisi was the second most powerful person in the Islamic Republic after the supreme leader, Ayatollah. A top negotiator, has been appointed acting foreign minister. A hardliner, Raisi became the president historically uncooperatively elected in 2021. He has overseen intensified repression of dissenters in a nation convulsed by youth-led protests against clerical rule. Further, the article states, Iran state media, press television, news agencies reported all those on board were killed in the crash. Headline in the sub-headline of this article, Iran about to enter into tumultuous period following the helicopter crash. Iran will enter a tumultuous period part of this crash carried in the country's carried after the president of the country's death. The power struggle between different factions in the Islamic Republic is surely to heighten after his death. Raisi had a lot of blood on his hands, this article says. He was known, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, as the Iranian butcher. Perhaps no other official in the Islamic Republic is responsible for more deaths because he was led by the Iranian leadership. And he, this article says, many in Iran have no tears over his death. And yet I'm appalled that our president, Joe Biden, got on the telephone and offered his condolences for the family and for those in Iran for the death of the butcher. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go with the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. How are you?
I'm doing well. I pray that you are.
Doing good. Thank you for asking, sir. The ICC has its formation and the starts, I know it was instituted in 1998, I think, but it was brought about by the Bosnia-Herzegovina Serbian incident. One of their first cases was against, I think his name was Ratko Mildovic. He was a Serbian general who was responsible for a lot of genocide in the mid-90s. Matter of fact, the United States got involved in that conflict as well in Bosnia. The Butcher of Tehran, he's sometimes called that as well. Not only was he responsible for the young woman you were talking about, but if you recall, during the Obama administration as well, during the what they call those spring uprisings there,
yes.
A large faction of students and Iranians, particularly in Tehran, rioted and rose up against the government, and Obama turned his back on them, and a lot of those individuals suffered and died in prisons, along with a lot of Kurdish from the northern parts of Iran as well. In particular, it shows the democratic leadership of saying one thing and then thwarting after they've said what they would do. Biden is just as guilty of this, especially in regards to Israel, because I called in and when October 7th originally happened, and I said it's just a matter of time before Biden turns his back on Israel. And
he did, yes.
He's done just that. They're talking about not supplying, cutting off munitions to Israel there, and dictating to the Israelis what they should be doing. It almost makes me wonder if something like that occurred here in the United States, what this administration would do. I don't think they have the fortitude or mental capability to enact. Like, let's say the cartels in Mexico came across, and they are, and started doing the exact same thing that Hamas did from Gaza into Israel. It's a sad shame that we've got a duplicitous administration.
Absolutely. And Jim, you touched on something that's a hot button in my vocabulary. I believe it's not a matter of if, it's just when. We have an internal event, just as with 9/11, as a result of the open borders and the uprising that we see taking place in the push to protect, to preserve, and to propagate the Islamic jihadists. We find that in the state of Minnesota. We find that in the state of Wisconsin. We find that in the state of Michigan. And this is the thing that Biden is so worried about. The reason he's turning his back on Israel is because he wants the votes of the useful idiots, and Islam uses that term themselves, useful idiots of the Americans that have been brainwashed and been in some way made to believe that America is bad, Israel is bad, death to Israel, death to America, and they're proclaiming that mantra. And I believe it's going to be the internal combustion, if you will, that brings about the implosion of our great nation, lest there's some cease and desist that can be brought about by the new presidency of Donald J. Trump, if God divinely intervenes and puts him back in office. I'm looking at the headline, Jim. Anti-Israel agitators shut down the Senate cafeteria. Around 50 arrested. Subtitle says dozens arrested after incident inside the Dirksen Senate office building. More than 50 people were arrested Tuesday after the Senate cafeteria was shut down by anti-Israel protesters chanting, "Senate can't eat until Gaza eats." This article states it's illegal to demonstrate inside any of the congressional buildings, Capitol Police said in the statement. Demonstrators walking through the hallways of the building, raising their hands and saying, "Children are starving in Gaza and people are dying in Gaza." One woman was wearing a shirt that read, "Biden's legacy is genocide." President Biden has come under pressure over the growing civilian death total from the Israeli-Hamas war, which began October the 7th last year, when Gaza-based terrorist group launched a surprise attack on Israel. What the article does not say is that was spawned by Iran. What the article does not say is that this is not just in the Senate cafeteria, but it's across the nation, spreading like cancer across our nation. So, Jim, my question is, what do you think is going to be the outcome? Will this be squelched? Will there be a quietening down? Or will this intensify before the election?
I think it's going to intensify because they need one of those, "Hey, look, a squirrel over there," moments, to be honest with you. just something to take off the focus off of their failed policies in this current administration. To be honest with you, I find it almost sickening to my stomach, because there was other individuals that are sitting and languishing in prison today because they were kind of doing the same thing these people are right now. Mm-hmm. You know, interrupting congressional and Senate hearings. Of course, the J6ers were rioting. I don't see any difference to what these individuals are doing. I have to wonder how many of them will be in jail for the next 3 years.
None.
I would guess to say none, which would be the answer, sir.
None. Absolutely none. They will be ticketed, booked, released, and in fact, they're probably all back on the streets as I speak, because it's the untouchable group in America today, and they're the ones I call the Islamic jihadists and the useful idiots promulgating and pushing the Islamic jihadist mindset and the agenda for Islam, and it's coming out of Iran. And Jim, I reckon the thing that is disconcerting, and yet at the same time it is fulfilling, is eschatological text in the scripture, where we see Germany now standing up, falling in line to want to destroy the nation of Israel. And of all people, of all nations, Germany looked like would have learned their lessons through the Hitler regime and would not be doing that today. But of all nations, Germany is now the first one out of the chute standing against Israel and saying that they will arrest Benjamin Netanyahu. Do you think he will be arrested? What do you think will be the outcome of that warrant being issued?
I think the outcome of that warrant being issued by the ICC is fundamentally flawed, because they haven't issued reciprocal warrants for the leaders of Hamas, and they're just as culpable for supposed war crimes as well. The other part that gets me is all of Europe right now will follow Germany, mm-hmm. because Germany is the financial powerhouse. But if you look at Europe, they are being subsumed in immigration, which is putting more and more Islamic faith-based individuals in their population, and their birth rates over there in Europe are not enough to sustain, you know, Germany, France, any nation you name over there. They don't have a birth rate high enough to sustain their own population. So they're importing, you know, vast numbers of individuals from Islamic countries, and that's going to reach a tipping point. So I think a lot of their current political agenda is being pushed behind the scenes by money from wealthy Middle East nations and from internal pressures from immigration. And the mayor of London, he's a good example. You know, he's Islamic.
Absolutely. Most of London is controlled by the Islamic jihadists. Most of Europe is controlled by the Islamic jihadists. France and Germany, their military in particular, controlled by Islamic jihadists. And we're witnessing and watching now the Islamic jihadists rising up. I said in my book, Is Islam Tolerant?, published, I believe, back in 2011, 2012, about 325 pages, 25 chapters. And I said in the book that according to historical records, when Islam in any city, any state, any nation reaches between 2% and 6%, they will stand up and demand to be in total control. And the global goal of Islamic domination that was set forth by Muhammad is now still being carried out today. And yet we have the mindset that you can coexist with the Islamic jihadist and everything is okay. I'm looking at a headline, Jim, I'll read a few words and ask a question and let you go. This headline says, Hamas rejoices as three European nations, Ireland, Norway, and Spain, recognize a state of Palestine as Israel urgently recalls their ambassadors. Subheading, Israel reacted with fury after three European countries said Wednesday they would recognize a Palestinian state more than 7 months into the devastating war with Hamas in Gaza. The article reads in part, Three major European nations are recognizing a Palestinian state. Many more are to follow. Saudi Arabia has often said that the price for them signing the Abrahamic Accord with Israel is the creation of a Palestinian state on Jewish land, exactly how the prophet Joel said it will go. In fact, in this article he recites, and well done, recites Joel chapter 3, verse 2, and I'll read that and get your comment. The Joel 3, 2 says, "For behold, in those days, and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations, will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land." Joel 3:2. So we recognize, based on the authority of the Scripture, that there will come a time when Jerusalem, Israel, will be parted, but God will bring it together when he defends the nation of Israel, according to the Scripture. What are your thoughts on this? Should there be a two-state solution? In my lifetime, every president that I can recall has talked about a two-state solution. Since when, in your opinion, do we as a nation, in America, or any other nation, have the authority to divide Israel?
We don't have that authority. One of the biggest misnomers out here is what they call the West Bank. First of all, the Gazans, whatever they want to call themselves, will never, ever settle for just the strip of land that they've got there. They want the what is called the West Bank. Now, the West Bank was originally part of the British Palestine. After World War One, they took that part, and it was part of what they call Eastern Jordanian territory there, but the British, after World War One, it was
Samaria and Judah.
Yeah, Samaria and Judah, which Judah was the southern half of Samaria, was that part, but they're not going to accept anything less than that strip of land they currently occupy, along with the West Bank. And if you look at the West Bank, part of that is Jerusalem. And mm-hmm. I don't think that Israel is a sovereign nation. They won their independence from their Arab neighbors, from the world, back in 1948. And those lands are undisputably, from biblical times, have belonged to Israel. It's not going to work. I think Trump did not back the two-state solution, if I recall correctly. I think he's the only one that kind of veered away from it. I'm not for sure on that one, sir.
Well, he worked out the Abraham Accord, but his son-in-law that helped work out the Abrahamic Accord talked about a two-state solution, Jerry Kushner, but it was never formalized and was never pushed, but they talked about a two-state solution. Jim, what our listeners need to understand, and I think you are aware, that the Scripture is very, very clear. Joshua, for example, chapter 1, verse 4, "From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river of Euphrates, all to the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, going down of the sun, this great sea to the going down of the sun, shall be your coast." And that is in Joshua, but it's just repeating what is found in Genesis chapter 13 and Genesis chapter 15, where God has given the land, the title deed to what is now Israel, has been given to it by God. In fact, all of Israel, if it covered the land that God gave them, it would not be just a little postage stamp, but it'd be all of that area around it that would be the nation of Israel. Israel never went in and possessed the land that God gave them. As a result of that, we're watching today the results of the Jewish people being disobedient to God's directive as to going in and possessing the land. So, Jim, as Christians, as conservatives, and as patriots, we need to recognize the hand of God in all that we see taking place. And I believe that what we're going to witness as a result of the president of Iran dying in that crash, we're going to witness a major internal uprising in the nation of Iran. We will witness then the crushing of the people even further, and we will witness the promulgation and further spreading of the Islamic jihadists on a global basis to try to carry out Muhammad's ideal and his goal of global domination. So it deserves our prayer, deserves our asking God to intercede and to put in America in the Oval Office a president that has a spine, a backbone to handle it and bring America back in line with the Word of God. Jim, thank you so much for your call. Thank you for your dialogue and discussion. God bless you and have a wonderful day.
God bless
you,
sir.
Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an issue today that I believe that we need to get a handle on as Christians, as conservatives. How do you stand? Do you stand with Israel? Do you believe that somehow, some way, that Israel's prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, should be persecuted, prosecuted, and arrested with an arrest warrant that's issued by the ICC? What is your position on that? Looking at the giant headline I touched on it a moment ago, here's another major article. Ireland, Norway, Spain to recognize the Palestinian state. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no such ethnic group as Palestinians. No such ethnic group. They're called the Palestinians today. They're simply the Islamic jihadists. And America, some way, somehow, has gotten our bearings off. And now with the landing that's been put in on the seacoast, the Med coast for Gaza, we're unloading hundreds of thousands and yet millions of pounds of food items for the Gazians to be fed and to be taken care of at taxpayers' expense from American taxpayers' pockets. I read an article just this morning that 70% of those goods, 70% of those goods have been stolen and they vanished at the hands of the Islamic jihadists, and they were designed to help the people in Gaza to make sure that they had food and enough to sustain themselves on. We're witnessing, ladies and gentlemen, the hand of God in what is taking place. God's going to get the attention of the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. And I believe he'll do so by further allowing the enemies to get to the point of almost annihilation of the nation of Israel. And it's at that point in time that they recognize Yeshua Messiah and they're saved. They're brought into the household of faith, entering into the millennial reign. I believe I have Raymond on the line. Raymond, go over with your question or comment, please.
Well, good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. Thanks for taking my call again.
Thank you so much.
Beautiful day. Yes, sir. Well, I support Israel, obviously, as a Christian, and the news of the helicopter crash didn't bother me one bit, with the exception that I don't wish hell on anybody, and so I guess we just have to keep praying for these Muslims to come to the truth. But I wanted to call and kind of crash your show again real quick. You had mentioned some breaking news at the beginning, and I wanted to call in just a real quick congratulations to Dr. Christopher Bonnier, if I'm pronouncing his name right, the gentleman that's the good conservative from Florida that just got voted in as the new Duval County School Superintendent. I appreciate you made a quick announcement at the beginning of the show. That was breaking news from this morning's meeting. And, man, just I want to say thank you for all the people's prayers. There was a lot of, concerned citizens, political activists, groups like Moms for Liberty and Citizens Defending Freedom, a lot of their volunteers and concerned, activists that contacted school board, were praying, showed up to the meeting, and that was a huge victory for Duval County Schools. And the good news is now, coming in August, as you've been discussing, we're going to have four of the seven school board seats is up, and it looks like that we've got a great opportunity there for conservative Christians to take those seats. And if that's the case, we'll have a majority on the school board and a superintendent that's all, biblically minded Christian conservatives. And that's what a drastic change that will be for Duval County. So congratulations to all that. And I appreciate your conversation. 2 days this week, you aired that, and your people, reached out, and it made a difference. So thank you, Dr. Youngblood.
I'm thankful, Raymond, that it did. Your voice made a difference also, and I'm thankful for that, for those conservative school board members that took a stand for truth and for righteousness and for what would be the honorable thing to do, for recognizing the need for protection for our sons, daughters, and grandkids in Duval County school system. And I look forward to the primary in August. Look forward to having the opportunity to interview several of those that will be on the ballot for August to let our listeners know how we should vote, who we should vote for. I believe as Christians, we should be salt and light. Salt is worthless if it stays in the shaker. Light is useless if it stays under the closet, in the closet or under the bed. And so I'm prayerful that Christians will come out of the closet, come out of the shaker, and be light in a darkened society and preservative in a decaying world. I pray that that'll be the case. And Raymond, keep up the good work. Keep on keeping on with what you're doing. I'm thankful for what you do each and every day with your ministry and your work, and calling the attention to our listeners and to the people in general of what's right and what God would have us to do as citizens. Thank you so much for your call. Amen.
Thank you. We'll be in touch soon. God bless.
Thank you. God bless you. Have a blessed day. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today a very serious issue. Standing with Israel. Standing with Israel. I stand with Israel. How do you stand? I'm looking at a headline. It says, lawsuit. Listen, lawsuit alleges that the pro-Palestinian groups behind the campus protest are collaborating with Hamas. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that Yale and Harvard and Dartmouth and Princeton and most if not all of our Ivy League universities and colleges in America are taking billions of dollars in Islamic jihadist money to set up departments in their schools and their universities to promote Islamic jihadists? Did you know that? Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that they are funding these universities by the billions? This is the reason these university presidents refuse to take a stand against the Islamic jihadists. This is the reason the university presidents being interviewed by the House and Senate subcommittees about what they've done. This is the reason they've been silent on it. This article says American and Israeli victims of Hamas terrorist attack against Israel filed a lawsuit on Wednesday against pro-Palestinian and Muslim advocacy groups over their alleged promotion and support for Hamas in our universities. A group of law firms representing the victims are suing American Muslims for Palestine, a National Student for Justice in Palestine, over alleging that the groups work to propagandize and advance the Islamic jihadist goal, including their recruitment efforts of embattled college campuses, thereby making them accomplices in the terrorist group's atrocities in America. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to pray that God will shut the schools down and take the taxpayer dollars out of their purses. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you joined us today. Thank you for joining in and your dialogue and discussion. And may we keep looking up. Luke 21:28 says, "For our redemption draweth nigh." Thank you so much. Tune in next time as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Conservative Theological University has been training God's servants since 1982. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for your interview today. Please leave your contact info for the admission staff to reach out to you. Courses can be taken on campus, online, or distant personalized education.